It's November the 5th tonight. We're recording episode 12.
Remember the 5th of November.
Exactly. And we're recording
fireworks. No, it's not fireworks and plot, is it? What is it?
The gunpowder plot. The
gunpowder and plot. Yeah.
It's gunpowder plot, not and plot.
It doesn't say and plot, it's just plot.
Gunpowder plot, yeah.
Well, listen, we were just saying about how it's bonfire night, and for our American listeners, that you know, there's probably one or two of them out there. I've seen a couple of them tweet us.
It's our 4th of July, but in reverse, and that we don't get independence. It's just to kind of
exactly. But let's we need to explain what this is though, because it was just saying Rezo was just saying it's basically a celebration. Weird, like a celebration in bunny ears to commemorate the gunpowder plot, which was when Guy Fawkes and a bunch of associates tried to blow up the Houses of Parliament in 1605. Rezol said,
Houses of Lords,
Houses of Lords.
There's only one house, right? There's no houses.
I mean, they all lived in houses, but yeah, this is a House of Lords. So they were Catholics, and the king was Protestant. That was the main gist.
He was a bit of a bi, wasn't he, James?
Bi?
Bi Catholic, bi Protestant.
Oh, okay.
You know what bi means?
Bi religious.
An agnostic for his day. He couldn't quite say he's agnostic, because he would have got, like, killed, but he just played both sides, I think. Catholic or Protestant.
Well, anyway, let me go on, right? So they were caught, the plot was foiled, and then Guy Fawkes was burned to death on a stake, right? On a bonfire, basically. But now every year the people of England make bonfires to burn them and watch fireworks. But I was thinking, like, do they all secretly watch this bonfire now, like what, 400 years later, and say, you know what, I wish that guy had blown up the fucking Houses of Lords. What do you think they say?
Hold on, you're still referring to it as Houses of Lords. House of Lords.
Okay, House of Lords.
I presume you've had a nice evening, yeah?
Oh, yeah, welcome, Pardo. Have you had a nice evening?
Yeah.
He's had a nice evening. What does he walk into? You trying to bait him into suggesting that we should blow up. They should have blown up.
Right, no. Yeah.
I'm trying to bait him into coaxing Brexit Britain.
No one's thinking about James. No, they're just like, well, them fireworks are nice. I hope I don't burn my hand with his sparkler.
No, there was a BBC series last year around the gunpowder plot. Guy Fawkes wasn't the main guy.
Yes, that's what we were saying. Rezol, the teacher, was telling us this before, because I introduced him that he's back, and he is a teacher, teaching assistant, but to me, he's a teacher. He's always taught me a lot of things in life.
Assistant to the teacher. So, no, I think officially we are glad that people weren't murdered. And we believe in democracy.
I don't know. From what I know of James the Monarch, he probably deserved to get. He was pretty abusive to Catholics.
But no one was going to be murdered. It was just going to be taken down.
No, they were in there.
Institution,
no,
right?
They were in there.
No, come on.
They used to have like all these like hidden compartments in the houses to hide the Catholics. They were completely persecuted. In the program I watched, Liv Tyler nearly got killed because of it.
That's a real travesty.
But yeah, so you don't think that people are sat around going, oh, I wish this was blown up actually a few hundred years ago. Imagine what the country would be like now.
No.
Well, I don't think it'd be that much different. But also, you think, oh, there must have been like a massive thing that happened to kind of make us celebrate this. And then the more you read into it, the kind of really the less happened.
And as I got older, I started realizing like, wow, this is really weird that we come here every year to celebrate burning people.
All it is a warning message to the public. Don't rebel, otherwise you could be that guy on the bonfire.
It is. It's exactly that. Yeah. Actually, this is quite good, because at the end of the pod, we will review a film that's set in like the 1600s, right? The King.
Oh, is this just trying to work out a way of justifying being the king? Is that why we're talking so much about
also, this was
a night?
This is the 1700s, Steve.
Oh, was it the 1700s? Well, it's
the 1400s. Oh, it's only 300 years before. It's fine.
Hang on, you said it was 1605. That's the 1600s.
That's the 17th century, though. Yeah,
the 1600s.
Oh, yeah.
dumbass.
We are. I mean, we should be doing a history pod here.
Gosh, we've got to fact check this bloody teacher. Internet Reza, I'm assuming he's getting everything from the internet.
What are you teaching
anything.
These kids? What
no, I was thinking 17th century. Yeah, you're right.
So, just giving them access to laptops and the internet. Off you go.
Yeah. And right. King Henry the what was he called in this film?
Henry V.
And when was he around?
1400s.
Oh wow.
1422, I think he died.
Wow. Well,
the 5th century is I like to oh no 15. Oh dear.
All right, guys, we should probably move into some NFL. I think we've waffled enough about...
You've not talked any NFL yet?
No, we've got plenty to talk about.
Oh,
there's
my God.
So much stuff happening in the NFL. There's too much to even tackle, I think.
I thought we were keeping this to Chris Bauer, this pod tonight.
All right, where do we start, Rezal? Where do you want to start? You go first, seeing as it's your first week back after date night.
I want to start with the Texans. Brilliant. 26-3 against the Jags. I know the Jags aren't, you know. The best team in the world, but I think the Texans are absolutely rolling. I think great quarterback, team's doing really well.
Rez, if you were going to predict this fixture, would you have backed the Texans or would you have backed Jaguars?
That shot's fired. That's a deal.
100% Texans. They've lost 3 games this season. One to the Colts, like decent team in the division. Then they've lost to the Saints and the Panthers, who are both good teams. So they play really well.
Yeah. No one would have ever picked the Jags. Oh, what an idiot would have picked the Jags. I mean,
Stadium were wearing mustaches and Jaguar tops with number 15 on.
Look, I got a big cue. With that one.
And when you were doing it, you're like, oh, yeah, Jags are at home. And like, yeah, well, they're in Wembley, so it's not going to make a difference.
I didn't look at that until late. But the reason that I did it, I got a little bit cute with that one. Because what I did was I was thinking, okay, Deshaun Watson got kicked in the eye last week. This eye injury might be worse than what he's thinking. And then I thought, J.J. Watt's now out for the season. You know, their defense might not be able to rush the passer as much. And then I thought Minshew might rise to the occasion and the Jags defense might do well. And the Jags have always done quite well in London because they've played there quite a lot, so they're quite used to it, because it is kind of like a home game, actually. And we'll get onto that London team thing later. But that was why, and I overthought that one, I've got to say. I did overthink it, but I would have thought it would be closer. But what I did underestimate was how good Deshaun Watson is, right? Because I love the guy. I think he's amazing. He is in MVP form at the moment, and I think he's up there in the MVP conversation. And he put the Texans on his back, and he delivered that win for the Texans. So I think that's pretty much, if you say, okay, the Texans won, how did they win?
Maybe they just kept going. 2 touchdown for Deshaun Watson. If you look at the receivers, there's plenty of receivers. There are 7 different receivers caught a reception. None of them massive yards, but they just shared it out. It didn't, you know.
He's always able to move the ball, right? He's always able to move the ball. And he has good receivers. I mean, he has DeAndre Hopkins. But I think in this game in particular, he was just able to control the game quite well. And I think, I mean, Minshew also had a lot of, was it like 4 or 5 turnovers, I read? And I think, well, I mean, unfortunately, the writing was on the wall, right? Nick Foles is now back, and it just got confirmed before we came onto the pod to record that Nick Foles is going to be the starting quarterback now for, I think he's done a great job, but I think it was always kind of said that he would come back. The Jags have to see what they've got with Nick Foles because they're giving him so much money. Then they have to give it a go. He threw one touchdown pass and then he broke his shoulder. So I think it was always going to happen. And I think Minshew's done himself proud. I mean, okay, like the last game wasn't great in London, but I mean that's fine. I mean he's done pretty great in the time he's been there.
7 games left. It's the next 3 games for the Texans because the Texans have got the Ravens, then away at the Colts and then away at the Patriots. So they're the 3. That's what does them. The last 4 are quite easy. You've got Broncos, Titans twice, and the Bucks. So the next 3 games are, you know, Ravens. I would hope we'd talk about the Ravens. Colts have already beaten a division rival and the Patriots, obviously the Patriots. So these next 3 games for the Texans are where this season's going to, you know, be won or lost, really.
I really like the Texans, but the thing, and this is also a reason why I picked the Jags in the last week, was because they have a tendency to be inconsistent. So they've gone on a bit of a streak now where they've been winning, but it was before kind of their offensive line got a bit better and this Laramie Tunsil got set in, but they were throwing games, some games they just didn't turn up, and they have the tendency to be able to get beat, and that's what I thought might happen this week. But yeah, with that kind of tough fixtures coming up, I think they have to, this is their chance to really.
You get a bye, and then you come on to, you know, the Ravens obviously beat the Patriots this week, but you never know. The Texans are in with a shout as much as anyone, really. I mean, their only thing is Colts are a strong team, one win behind them in the division. Like, you never know, do you? And then you come in second, that's then tough to try and get a wild card.
Texans were my pick at the start of the season to win the division.
What, just their little league or the actual main?
their little league, yeah.
Great, bold statement. Right.
All right, next game.
That's one game, isn't it? Right, and they're not even playing this week. Right. Okay.
Yeah. Patriots. Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We're aligned with that. But the it was 20 to the Patriots and 37 to the Ravens in the end. Bardo, go on. This is your favorite team. You're so excited about
Sorry, but I was distracted in that last segment because I'd taken a screenshot of our kind of video conference. I was just doing a doodle of, because I can see right up Rezol's nose, so it's like
you could also hear him snort as well quite a lot.
And then I was kind of like putting a mustache on you and putting I Heart Minchie the second, but it was just really distracting, so I kind of like I put it to one side now, and it's purely promotional reasons, but I'm promoting the NFLP apparel, available at all good websites, well, one website. And
now it's got the old logo anyway, so don't
Are we sticking with this new logo, actually? Because
with the inverted P, you don't like it?
Well, one, it comes through on Twitter now, and it's NFL question mark, because it's not even a recognised symbol.
No, I took that out. I changed that, actually.
NFL question mark. Oh, great. and then I liked the banner. That was like pink background and then blue lettering. And now we've got a logo with pink background, blue lettering, but also suddenly we've got mug shots of us looking lovingly at each other. And it's just like pure pink to the very masculine market. And I just don't know what we're aiming for here with the new logo.
Oh, this is a brand meeting. Differentiate us in a crowded market because we are pink and proud.
Yeah, but it just looks weird as well, you know, from another standpoint. So I quite like the other one. It's clean, crisp. You could see what it meant because you actually said what NFLP stands for. Mm-hmm. Now it just says NFL. You don't even know what that other symbol is. It's a P the wrong way around, and I suppose it.
All right, listeners, I'm going to leave this in so you can hear Pardo's fuming about the logo change. When he learns how to design anything, then I'll let him make a logo.
I think when you've had something tattooed on your body, you do get annoyed when they change it, don't you? So I think that's his problem. 8 tattoos he's had so far. It's only week 12.
Oh, that was the best rant I've heard on NFLP. Oh, brilliant. Okay. Do you want to talk about Ravens Patriots, or do you want to talk more about the logo?
That's all we've done on the Facebook page, is just change the logo every other week.
Oh, my God. Let it go.
Anyway, let's stop talking about the logo.
Sorry. Carry on. But yeah, Ravens against the Patriots. Who would have thought that the Ravens would win that game?
Well, you called it. That's why you're teeing that up.
A fair few weeks ago, like, I think the Ravens were kind of playing well initially, and then they had a test and they got beat. I think it was against the Kansas City Chiefs, and they fell foul of that one. But this is another matchup of a similar level team, and they came out on top. And from the highlights that I saw, I unfortunately couldn't see the game live, but they were showboating in parts, you know, when they were getting those touchdowns, and it looked easy. It was crazy to see. But also fantastic to see from a, you know, a neutral's point of view. You know, each week Patriots were going up and up in like you know, the plethora of, you know, how you judge NFL teams, and it's nice to know that they're I suppose they're human as well, and that, you know, they're vulnerable. And what people say is, well, what I've heard post game is that Patriots always seem to have a single game kind of slip up, and then they just run out invincible and win the Super Bowl. But anyway, I think it was good to see, and yeah, fantastic, you know, way to watch it. And, you know, Lamar Jackson is just proving everyone. Well, everyone's just giving so many superlatives that you think it's going to fall flat in his face the next game, but he just carries on and on.
You're right. I was thinking about this today when you said about the Patriots. I think one of the things that pulls you into NFL is the idea of the draft helps teams who are poorer, you know, get better players, the cap. There is sort of a parity, and the Patriots kind of book that, and that's fine. And if you like the Patriots, that's great. But it's nice to see them lose. I've seen them lose is sometimes good for the league. You don't want, you know, football can be, soccer, sorry, can be very much like that kind of one, you know, the top teams just win and win and win. I think it's nice to mix it up. But the Ravens beat the Seahawks the week before. They're a legitimately good team.
Yeah.
Playing really well.
Oh, but I think the Patriots win because of when you have such a good coach in Bill Belichick, where he can really understand teams' weaknesses. He builds this culture where they really don't leave anything to chance. And lots of to be honest, lots of the NFL teams are sloppy. They're really, really sloppy in their preparation, like who they hire, the tactics they employ. They keep going down this path all the time. And I think Pardo is right in his analysis, right, that all of the people have been saying, and the people that know the Patriots quite well have been saying that basically this is what they need. And they had it last season. I remember that they were like 6-0 or something. Then they got beaten, and then they came back quite strong as well. But they need to sometimes get punched in the mouth so that they can see their weaknesses and see what their problem is. You know, let's say that they face each other again. The Patriots have a week to prepare. You know, they're going to face each other in the playoffs. I would never bet against the Patriots to beat them then, no matter how good Lamar Jackson is, because when they have the time to prepare and now they've played them and they can watch the tape and they can see all of the things that Lamar Jackson does, I would never bet against the Patriots to go in there and really just absolutely rip them a new one.
But at least you've seen a team that can't, you feel like, oh, the AFC is just going to be Patriots all the way to Super Bowl, because the NFC, you know, is so much stronger than the AFC.
It was absolutely great.
You know what? There is a chance that they can do it, because there's not a lot of teams there. See the Chiefs, if Mahomes is back, possibly, you know, Texans really beating the Patriots? So it's nice to see. You never know, do you? And the Ravens at least have.
It was really good to see.
But for the Patriots, next three games, but they play the Eagles, which you never know with the Eagles, do you? Like on the up. Cowboys a bit the same, and then they play the Texans, and then the Chiefs.
Yeah, four tough.
So you
games,
never know. You never know. I mean, they're still going to win their little league, as Pardo calls it. But but it's good to see teams maybe be able to have a go at them and have a better.
But chance. I like it. It was good for the game. Brilliant. You know, just the cynic in me says, okay, they'll probably get better from here, but still, that's what you want to see. You want to see these teams beating each other, and you want to see people like Lamar Jackson just like dancing into the end zone for a touchdown and just absolutely destroying this defense that, you know, has been championed as the greatest defense that we've seen in generations. You know, it was great.
Did you watch the 49ers game? Because they're now the only undefeated team, aren't they?
They
would have
seen
that.
Close game as well. Some superb play by their number 10. Interesting stat in that game.
Jimmy G. I thought you were going to say his name, and then I was like, is he going to say his name? There was a really dramatic pause.
No, because I remember I was watching it, and it was number 10, and I was just about to look it up. But I was hoping you'd just fill it and just
Jimmy Garoppolo.
I don't think that's right, is it?
Yeah, the San Francisco 49ers number 10, yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Is this Handle the Cheetah on Twitter?
No, that's Tyreek Hill. This is the Kansas City Chiefs. You were talking about the 49ers.
Oh, forget it. Forget it. Cut it out.
Leave it in.
That's staying in. Did you want to talk about the 49ers? Because I actually had Chiefs next on my thing. I had the Vikings versus Chiefs 23-26.
So you've got to talk about the 49ers. I mean,
no, the Chiefs.
8-0.
You've got to talk about the 49ers. Yeah, carry on, Rez. You know what you're talking
8-0. Quarterback, like, I don't know if Pardo knows, obviously being a novice, but Jimmy Garoppolo was the backup to Tom Brady for years and years, wasn't he? And eventually, they want to keep him. Tom Brady obviously never retired, so eventually he left. And then you think, well, can he do something if he's not got that security of being a backup to Tom Brady? But 4 touchdowns against, you know, not a bad Cardinals, okay Cardinals team, decent Cardinals team, but 4 touchdowns.
Like getting better Cardinals team, right? I mean,
yeah.
And they actually showed in that game they're getting a lot better. Kyler Murray is getting into his groove in the NFL.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, it's good. I really like to see him do well.
We talked about the ball being spread. Nine different receivers on Sunday, which is phenomenal.
That's right, because that was the Thursday night game, and that seems ages ago now. But, yeah, that kind of result came in, and they went in seeing pretty well everyone else played.
49ers are actually, like, in most people's... I mean, they're the only undefeated team now, right? So in most people's power rankings, they're number one or number two in the best teams in the NFL. And I think what's great about them is that they were able to, like, Kyle Shanahan, everyone says he's a genius head coach and things, and this is the first time I've really seen him kind of be able to do something with the team, which is really pretty impressive. But you saw the first few games, it was all about defense. They were blocking teams out completely. And then what I saw from the Thursday game was that Jimmy Garoppolo, he must have, we always talk about the knee injuries, but he must have been, he was out all last season with the ACL injury. So this was him getting back to kind of his sharpness, his fitness. So this must have been intentional to say, hey, we can't put all the pressure on Jimmy to make everything work. So we need the defense to step up, need other parts of the team to step up. And then now, like, I mean, I think it was like, he played really well. I can't remember exactly how many touchdowns. I think it was 3 or 4 touchdowns in the end. But he seemed to be putting the team a little bit, like, you know, he was leading from the front on Thursday and really driving the game forward. So I think now the game plan's starting to change where they can sort of push more towards, like, lean on Jimmy a bit more. Because I think they were letting him get settled, feel comfortable in the team, because there must be a certain point part of your head where you've been out for a whole year because of an injury. There must be a part where you're a bit worried about, you know, doing everything and putting you, you know, like, I don't know, running with the ball and doing this and doing that. So I think what they saw was that Jimmy now stepped up and, like, took over that game. And I think now they can start leaning on even more things, because you've seen them lean on the defense, you've seen them lean on the run game, and now in this one it seems to be more the quarterback.
But the thing is, you know, I know it's a long way, halfway there, but there's surely no chance they can go 16-0.
I don't think so. I think it's like, I mean, I don't know who they've got in the fixtures, but I think it's you know, look how. I mean, well, actually, I don't think they had a really close game. Like, probably this was their closest game, right, against the Cardinals. But I just think that I think it will get too much.
They've had a few close games. The problem is, if you look at these are the next games. I don't think they play the Seahawks next on Monday night. That's tough. Cardinals again the week after. So you think, fair enough. But then they've got the Packers, the Ravens, the Saints, their 3 hard games. Falcons, pretty easy. Rams, not too bad. And then they finish on the Seahawks. I mean, playing the Saints, the Ravens, the Seahawks twice, and the Packers, that's not...
I think it's too much. We'll just get too much at some point, and some team will come in who's a bit fresher, and they'll get the win. Even if it shocks you, because it's sometimes a team you don't even expect. They'll go to, you know, a random team where you wouldn't even predict, and then they get beaten.
I think this game coming up on you know, the is it the yeah the Tuesday morning game? That's Monday night. That game against the Seahawks, you know, it's a little league game between the two teams. That is,
I've got to say, I love this.
Yeah, I love little league.
Of course,
you talk about 49ers. 49ers are incredible, right? And they play
Seahawks
one
are on a hell of a run at the moment, aren't they? They're playing very well. You know, you think about predictions.
Russell Wilson, MVP candidate.
Two teams, they're up against, you know, anyone but, you know, I'd say Patriots, Ravens. I'd back the Seahawks pretty much. Yeah.
Sorry, the 49ers are 8-0, obviously, but the Seahawks are 7-2. So yeah. They played an extra game, but they're only really one behind. They're not far off.
Okay, so what? They're playing next week, 49ers and Seahawks. Who are we predicting? Yeah. Let's go for it now. At Seahawks?
No, 49ers. At 49ers.
I'll go for 49ers.
Well, we're not going to go for it because I'm going to say 49ers, and Rez is probably going to go 49ers.
Come on, Rez. Get your thoughts down on live pod.
What have you gone for?
49ers, both of us.
And we're not going to Seattle on travel because that would decide it for me.
Yeah, but the problem...
Well, it's proven.
The problem is you sound like a real douchebag going against the 49ers, don't you? Ardo, we're going to hit you with a random question, political question.
Yeah.
General election coming up.
Yeah.
Who's your quarterback that you would install as Prime Minister?
Hold on, is this on the record or off the record?
Everything's on the record.
Well, currently, I mean, it's difficult, isn't it? I mean, it's a douche between a turd sandwich, isn't it? It's that kind of scenario.
You haven't heard the question, have you?
Did you listen to the question?
Quarterback that you... Oh, right. I thought you were just on about my pick for the election coming up.
No.
I thought you were referring that the candidate, the leaders of each party was the potential quarterback.
No. Which
so I just thought wouldn't... it's an analogy of an analogy. Okay. Of, yeah.
You could answer two questions. No. Which NFL player would be your prime minister? Which potential prime minister would be your NFL starting quarterback?
Great question.
So, is it basically just choose an NFL player to be prime minister? Is that it?
If you put it like that, yeah.
In a nutshell, is that what you're saying?
It's meant to be a lighthearted joke.
Oh, right. I mean, who would you guys have, just to kind of turn on his head?
Russell Wilson.
Maybe... Yeah, Aaron Rodgers. I'd go Aaron Rodgers.
No, he's a dick. Come on.
He's great. What about... The better question, though, is which political leader would you have as a NFL player? I think Arlene Foster, the DUP, I think she'd be a great running back.
She'd be a good prop.
We were glossing over the rugby.
Sorry. Stafford would be my main man. Steady Eddie.
Stafford's a good guy, yeah. Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah, he'd throw a few Hail Marys in there when the going got tough.
Hail Marys.
Get Brexit done. Oh, hold on. We've got to leave it last minute. You know, it could be a hard Brexit. No. He's thrown a Hail Mary.
Hail Mary.
No, Rez, did you not listen to the pod last week? We agreed that we would call it Hail Mary from now on.
I'm not having it, no. I'm not having it.
You refused to listen to it without yourself on it. Is that what happened?
No, but I don't... No, it's Hail Mary.
No, Mary. Now, for the pod, it's Hail Mary.
No.
Yes.
Not having it.
All right, should we got through two NFL games? I mean, should we just move off the NFL?
Was there more games? How many games were there?
Well, I had a quick...
Hold on, we got to talk about Kansas City Chiefs after my faux pas before. Yeah. And that was a good game as well, because that was back and forth. I think the Vikings and City Chiefs were quite closely matched in that game.
City Chiefs. Sorry, I'm just laughing at everything now. Tickled my funny bone. Carry on.
Yeah, anyway, so they won it with that last minute laces out drop goal. Yep. Was it a drop goal? Do they call it drop goals?
No. Just a kick.
Oh, right. Or punt. Would they call it a punt if it's going?
No, punt is when they kick it back to the other team, and that one is a field goal when they kick it over the.
So a last-minute field goal. That sounds better than kick.
It does. Yeah, it's called officially a field goal. Yeah, you're right.
Field goal. Okay, but also, yeah, I mean, the number 10 for played for the City Chiefs. He recorded.
Stop saying the City Chiefs.
What?
It's cracking me up.
Can't just call say
them that. The Chiefs? No, I don't think I've ever heard anyone call them the City Chiefs.
But they're the Kansas City Chiefs.
Because the place is called Kansas City.
Do you know the stats on this one, Raz?
I know all the
stats.
What's
the interesting stat that I'm trying to get out here about their number 10 that I can't remember the name? Twitter handles that cheater.
Oh, Tyreek Hill. Okay.
Yeah. Tyreek, yeah.
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 And he recorded the fastest dash in the whole of the NFL this season during that game. And it's off the ball. So the guy received it and he actually chased it down and actually took over, coming the guy from 10 yards back and actually overtook it, blocked one of the people trying to get the one that received the ball, and then overtook him as they did the touchdown. It was amazing to see. But he's rapid, absolutely rapid.
I saw that, yeah.
They look all right, don't they? I quite like them.
Yeah, they well I mean,
without, you know.
Matt Moore got one, and he lost one, won one, and then Patrick Mahomes comes back next week. So they're in a good position.
Is it next week?
Yeah.
He as a standing quarterback, he's a good steady Eddie, isn't he? Even though he didn't play all last year, Rez, and that played into our predictions the previous week and probably into this week as well. I think I backed the Vikings for this game.
Yeah.
And
we both did, actually. Yeah.
Right? He proved us kind of wrong. It's a backup quarterback, and I've kind of listened to a few kind of commentaries post game, and he's kind of, he's been winning a lot of plaudits, and it's a shame that he's going to come out. But with Mahomes coming in, that he's kind of kept them in a contention for the playoffs and later on in the season now by, one being in hand for part of this win.
Did you see the black cat in the Cowboys Giants game?
I did. Yeah. Did Amazing. You see it, Bardo?
What does that mean then, seeing a black cat on the field during a game?
Bad luck for the Giants.
For the Giants, yeah.
For the Giants.
Going well, they were again. Winning. Cat came, they lost.
Really?
Yeah. Black cat across your path. It's bad luck.
It's true. And the Giants are at the Jets. This weekend as well.
The Giants are playing the Jets next week. Not looking good, is it, for the Jets losing to the Dolphins? That was embarrassing.
No, and it is. And to be fair, now you think, the Jets overall are performing worse than the Dolphins. And at this state in the season, you've got a decision, haven't you? You're not going to make the playoffs. So you've almost, because there's no relegation, you can afford to kind of almost give up. So you can get better draft picks for the next season. You're almost just going straight to preparing for next season, just damage limitation.
But the thing for the Jets is that they think they have their franchise quarterback. So they had Sam Darnold was the third pick overall a couple of seasons ago. And they do think he is a franchise quarterback. And I think he's just been traumatized this season. But for me, I would probably, if I was the Jets, I would probably... They'll probably end up with the first pick or the Bengals. It's the Jets, Bengals, Dolphins. One of those three will end up with the first pick. And then they should probably go for this guy, Chase Young, who's the edge rusher in the draft. And he's supposed to be the best player in the draft. But there's also really, really good quarterbacks in this draft. So, but I don't think they would draft a quarterback if they were first. So for them, whereas the Dolphins really need a quarterback. So, right, usually... If you're first pick, then you're guaranteed you get this best, the best quarterback. But yeah, the Jets don't really need this. What the Jets need to do, in my opinion, is fire Adam Gase. I think this is a disaster. The appointment's been a disaster from start to finish. Just the way they managed this whole process, and then they had this this guy, the last GM, Mike Maccagnan, who was basically responsible for all of their draft picks, but they didn't believe in him. So as soon as Adam Gase came in and said, "Oh, I don't like this guy," they fire this guy and they let him pick all the players. And then now they've got to, like, they had to reboot everything. And then they, Adam Gase took the job, and then he was forced to have the certain staff members that, I don't know, like, I don't even know if he wanted them, but they said, okay, you know, we're going to choose the staff. So I don't know. It seems rotten from top to bottom there. And they, I think really, Adam Gase has not worked out as their head coach. So I think that would be the person that I would probably get rid of as soon as possible. And I would start again. It didn't work out for him at the Dolphins, and it also is not working out there. And I think it was a really bad appointment, and I would go again. I would find a good head coach, and I would let him and the general manager, Joe Douglas, it is, I think, who came in this year from the Philadelphia Eagles, I would get them to start again. What do you think? It's their result.
Well, I think the head coach doesn't look like a good appointment, does it? And never really did. Mike McCarthy, legendary, you know, Packers coach, who they fired, wasn't supposedly interviewed and passed over. Would have been a great, you know. There's a.
I think so just having some, you know, someone with that kind of experience.
The only thing, though, he's talking about the draft for the Jets. If the Jets really feel they don't need a quarterback, and they
won't go for a quarterback.
But then you can, you know, if they can bluff it that they might sign one, then maybe you sell your, you know, trade your pick to the Dolphins so they can get their guy possibly, or to someone else, knowing that you can pick up the player you want later. So that helps. But it's, you saw the way the Dolphins celebrated by tipping Gatorade over the head coach's head. Yeah, like, these players do not want to be losing game after game. No, you know, they celebrated like a playoff.
Well, I think they actually played well from what I saw. And I think, you know, then from what I'm getting out of it is that they're proving themselves on the last couple of weeks, at least, that they're actually not a tanking team. I think it's almost guaranteed that we thought they were. But, yeah, you know, winning games, they were close last week. And hopefully it continues, but it's very disappointing if you're a Jets fan. And going into, do they call it a derby game when they're playing in the same city in the NFL? Well,
they share the same stadium. I mean,
I don't know.
Yeah, they both share the
same life.
What do they call it? A little league matchup.
Well, they're not in the little league. I don't know what they call it, actually. Just a rivalry.
Yeah.
Local rivals.
That game was Jets 18 and Dolphins 26 in the end. Oh, there is one topic actually we should cover. But there's talk. You might have seen this today, Pardo. But there's talk of there's been talk for a while of having a London team, London NFL team. And today there was talk that the Chargers might be that team.
Yeah.
Although it's been later poo-pooed, like most people said. Even the Chargers on social media said that they posted a video of DiCaprio from Wolf of Wall Street saying, I'm not leaving. And Jerry Jones, the Dallas owner, said, "Nah, the move isn't viable." Da, 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 da. But anyway, I think it's good to quickly talk about it. And it's still more likely to be the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jacksonville Jaguars have kind of been treated like the London team for a while. And they were saying that actually they're even thinking about having like 4 home games in Jacksonville, 4 home games in London, to test it this.
I think there's quite a... there's a swell of neutral support at the moment for the Jaguars. I'm probably one of them that could, you know, if they came over to England, I'd probably, you know, I'd be quite happy with that. But then when I first, you know, when we first started the pod, I quite liked the name Chargers as well. So,
because that was one of your nicknames, I think we should probably say. And that would be good. But it's like, I think... I would love to have a London team. It would be amazing because I think just it's a easy place to get to in Europe. You come over, like you watch a home game. But I think it would be great for fans in the UK or Europe. I think, you know, the weird thing would be for fans that are very, maybe for me and you who are kind of newcomers to NFL, that it would be great because then I would just start supporting this team that's in London, of course. And I think all new people, then it would give you an entry point. You'd be like, hey, I support this team in London. But for fans that are loyal to a team, you would probably have less inclination to start supporting this team. You wouldn't support them just because they're in London. You know, say if you've been a Browns fan for the last 10 years, you're not all of a sudden going to jump support this team. So it might actually be better for you because, you know, you get all these random teams coming over and you get these, imagine if there's 8 just random games in London, you would probably prefer that to actually having a London team, right?
Yeah.
If you support a different team.
But this is it. I think it's, you know, there's pros and cons, isn't it? Because I think the good thing about the London games at the moment is that, you know, with the rotation that they have, you know, those people that do follow the NFL, their team's going to come. And it's great to have that opportunity to see them in person without having to travel across to the States. And then suddenly when you've got our London team, I mean, it's difficult because the way these things work, it is often established through, you know, how the rivalries are formed in the States. There's team rivalries, isn't there? And it's difficult when you're just a, you know, a satellite club in a way, separated off from everyone. You know, like the way we've experienced with our own kind of soccer leagues in the UK, you know, we're closely affiliated between, you know, Liverpool and Manchester, not far from each other, but that rivalry, yeah, it's part of the game, isn't it?
Yeah.
But we'd just have a separate London team or UK-based team. I suppose it almost makes it like an international in a way. So there is, you're just rivals with everyone, aren't you?
All right. Do you wanna do the travel segment?
Yeah. Let's go for it.
Go on then.
It's Pardo's. Pardo's. Travel, where Pardo talks us through the beautiful cities of the United States of
America. These streets will make you feel brand new. Big lights will inspire you. Let's hear it for New York. Yes, we're in New York this week, and I've purely gone for this because I was looking at the fixtures, looking for teams down the look, and I had two facing off against each other in the same city. It's Jets, Giants. I was a bit reluctant about going to New York because it's a very familiar place to a lot of people. A lot of people who are listening to the pod, follow us on various social media platforms, know New York better than I do because I've never been there. And completely open, I've not been to any of the cities, I've not even been to the States before, so I'm doing travel to places I've never been to.
But you almost feel like you've been there.
Well, I mean, the States in general, it's ridiculous. I know so much about American culture, and you know, I've grown up as if I have been there all my life because of, you know, I've been brought up on television and films and music, and
and I've never been to New York, and you posted and said, hey, does anyone, what should I talk about with New York, and I posted all these things, and you were like,
god, that's a waste of time. Well, so luckily some people did come back, so because I did want to kind of talk about New York because there's all the things that I know even without going there. Now I can look up top 10 places to go in New York, and all the places that are, you know, it's like Empire State Building, Statue of Liberty, go to Madison Square Garden to catch a game, and then you know it's all the same old same old. How about going a horse ride in Central Park? Yeah, great. But then there's the other things, and so you chipped in.
I didn't say how about going a horse ride in Central
Park. No. These aren't the things that came back, and that's the thing about reaching out to mainly friends and family on Twitter, because you know, not even Twitter, because Twitter was just you coming back again. So I got some good tips actually. So from what I've kind of got, so you mentioned the High Line And that came up, I think I got three in total.
That looks amazing.
Yeah, yeah. So that was some kind of former railroad that they have, like on those kind of raised platforms, mm-hmm. and that kind of runs for like a mile and a half, and it looks fantastic. And there's actually something that is recommended that I could go to before that called Bubby's Breakfast.
Bubby's Breakfast,
and then you can get to the start and an end point of this. What's it, Highline?
Highline. I'm planning actually going to New York in April. So so this is really good tips. I'm noting these things down because I only saw the Highline and now Bubby's Breakfast.
Bubby's Breakfast. Bedford Avenue in Williamsburg is meant to be very nice as well. And I think this is a lot of the areas. So, you know, you've got like Manhattan, and that's where all the kind of skyscrapers are. But also, you know, Brooklyn is the place to go. It's said
hipster
to be
more, paradise,
right? It's paradise. And yeah, Peter Luger Steakhouse in Brooklyn is also a recommended hotspot. And also another recommended place is the Met, where they play all the kind of, I think that's where the Jets and the Giants play. I think Rezal said they're in New Jersey. I'm not sure on that, but I'll check. And you've also got
Nets. The Nets or the Jets versus they're playing in New Jersey. Yeah,
You've got the Barclays Center as well. I think that's where they play the ice hockey and NBA. And also, someone told me to look up the Ellis Stardust Diner as well. I didn't have a chance to look it up, but I'm putting that out there as a recommended hotspot.
Carry on. I'll Google it while you're talking.
Okay, you look it up. But also, I mean, what I normally like to do is talk about films that were filmed in the city. Christ, off the top of your head, Steve. Sorry to. Anyway,
it's okay. You can use profanity with me. So let's just go back to this Ellen Stardust Diner.
Oh yeah.
This is in Times Square, so this is going to be really tourist trap. I mean, it's on Times Square.
But that's where you got to go. You got to go to Times Square, haven't you? You're going to New York for the first time.
True, yeah. But this looks like such a tourist.
Are you saying when you go to New York in April?
No, I'm not going there. No way. I'm not going there. No, that's the tourist trap. It's like Alexanderplatz. It's like when people come to Berlin, they go to Alexanderplatz. It's the worst place in the world. Really, don't go there. And this looks awful. It looks like Wetherspoons or something.
Oh god, it reminds me of when I going to visit you in London. And yeah, rather than going anywhere good like Leicester Square, we end up in a pub in Shoreditch for New Year's. Yeah,
and you always enjoyed it.
Yeah, good times, good times. but when you think New York, I mean. Film in New York, Steve, off the top of your head.
The one with Larry David, I'm thinking.
Don't think of a cool one. Just come up with one that comes to first in your mind.
First one comes to mind. Oh, I know one. Igby Goes Down. That's one of my favorite ones.
Okay.
Igby Goes Down.
That's a good one because I was just going to test whether it's on my list of films that I had. And I even kind of got a list bit on the internet. But there's so many. I knew you'd come up with one. That wasn't on the list.
There are a lot, yeah.
You got like Taxi Driver, When Harry Met Sally, Goodfellas.
That's the one I was thinking of, When Harry Met Sally. Yeah, okay.
And then you've got Sleepless in Seattle. Well, that ends on...
Oh, yes, on the
American
Tower.
American Psycho, Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yes.
Die Hard with a Vengeance. I think that's probably one of my favorite ones because it tours the whole city pretty much.
Yeah, in the taxi.
Wall Street, King Kong, The Great Gatsby. West Side Story.
Great Gatsby, yeah.
And Rear Window. Just based on the films, I mean, I forget how much... One, there's so much great film and content set around the great city of New York.
Mm-hmm.
We've only scratched the surface on what you can do there. And you know, I think you know, with all the cities that we talk about, I mean, if ever I do go to the States, I'm going to have to always... start at New York and then go from there. Biz.
I did enjoy that New York review. It's made me quite excited about going next year. So tell me, like, what was the favorite thing you heard about today? If you're there now and you want to go somewhere, where are you going? That you can only go to one place.
If you're asking me now, I'd just go to Times Square out of spite.
Oh, just you ruined it. So you haven't seen this film that we wanted to talk about?
Well, I've seen an hour.
Oh, phew. The Novice Boys are about to do a movie review.
This is a bit too sexy.
It's about Henry V, right?
Yeah. And how long was he on the throne?
9 years.
Just nine years?
Just 9 years, yeah.
No way. How did he die?
9 years. On the battlefield.
No way. Where? Not in France.
Yeah, in France.
No, he doesn't die in this film.
Oh, right. Sorry, there might be a sequel then. Oh, I just assumed that's how it'd end.
Hang on. So I'm confused now because I didn't look at the Wikipedia page. But anyway, we're talking about the film that's on Netflix called The King.
Yep.
It's not really an NFL film, so it's a bit of a departure from what we usually do. But
what's that ball? I know what you mean by the ball.
Exactly.
Now.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So I watched it yesterday because I've been at home with a sick child for the couple of days, and I watched it yesterday. And I was like, it was such a good film. I enjoyed it a lot that I thought, I can't watch some bad NFL film. And I couldn't find one to watch. So I thought, okay, we'll just talk about The King because it's available to everyone. It's on Netflix. It's had a big release. And it's and basically, as I said to Pardo, it's basically he becomes the king, right? So the beginning is his father is a brutal king and has caused war in the nation in England, and then he's caused war with different countries his whole life, and the son,
well, it's
the
mainly
oldest son,
Scotland and Wales, wasn't it?
Exactly,
part of the kingdom, pretty much.
And the oldest son had left home and was like, I don't want any part of this. He seems very bright. He's like, I don't believe in war, all of this stuff. Anyway, then he comes back. His father says, hey, you're not going to be the king. Your younger brother is going to be the king because you live a horrible life and, you know, you don't deserve it and all this. So he's like, fine, I don't want to be the king. Never wanted this. Then his brother dies on the battlefield after he turns up and kills one of the best soldiers, basically, in a battle, because he said, hey, just fight me, and then we save all the rest of the armies, and then no one needs to die. So, but then he becomes the king, his father dies, his brother's dead, so then he becomes the king, and it's Henry V, and it's set in the 1400s or something like this. And then he first kind of days on the throne, he gets gifts from all over Europe, right, and all over the world maybe, and he receives from France what is a ball. Everyone gives like gold things, really nice presents. He gets a ball.
It was
basically
the jester's ball, wasn't it? He was seen as a bit of a clown.
Yeah,
but he kind of came into it.
Exactly. Can I say this, or I'm not going to spoil it? So basically, then everyone is saying to him, hey, go to war with France. You need to be at war with France you know, people don't believe in you. They think you're just this, you know, party boy who doesn't really care about the people and all this. And all he wants to do is create peace, right? And cares about the people.
Yeah.
They're saying, no, you have to show to the people that you are a strong king and all this. You know, France is provoking you. They pretend to send there's an assassin comes over and they go, oh yeah, this person tried to kill you, so you have to go to war with them. Then he goes to war with France. So they go to France, and you see the predominantly most parts of the film him in France, and then there's a huge battle scene when he's in France.
That's the famous battle, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And he takes, so a guy that was basically his mentor who looked after him when he was not in the palace and he was living with the common people, because he threw away all his kind of like royal things and he wanted to just be basically normal and with the people. And
is
the guy
bearded bloke?
Yes, Sir
what
John.
Did he do?
So he was basically at the beginning, he was just looking after him, right, and his mentor, and they were drinking together, and he's taught him lots of stuff. So he, this guy Sir John, he's basically like this really wise and guy, and he's been in lots of battles, so he's an old soldier. And he said, and he comes up with a plan, right, because their number, the French numbers outweigh the English massively. And Sir John says, hey, there is a way to beat them. I think it's going to rain tonight. And what we need to do is we need to not fight in our armor, because no one can move in the armor. We need to take all of it off. And then we'll just have a few people that in their armor go up the field. And then what will happen is they will attack, and all of their horses and everyone will get stuck in all the mud. And then we'll take them down there. And then you run in from the side, from the forest, because you don't have any armor and you can move quickly, and then you can take down all these people. So like the army mostly moves in from the side. And this is how they defeated them, because that they were way outnumbered. They had horses, they had like huge army. And so John's plan basically paves out, and then he basically goes on to win that battle. And then more stuff ensues after that. I'm not going to spoil this one, even though I usually spoil all the films. And there, I've got to say, like, when he, there's a speech that I showed to Pardo before I'd sent it over the WhatsApp group, but there is a speech that he does at the, where before they have this battle in France, when they're massively outnumbered, they're massively what they think is outmaneuvered, and everything. And this speech is incredible. I was just like, the goosebumps were standing up on my.
Is that the speech account that they take out? Is it taken from Shakespeare, that speech, or is it a different speech?
I don't know, but really, I was.
Because there's a a play, wasn't there, about Henry V?
Yeah, there was. I don't know if that's the thing. I haven't read that play, but there was a play.
Well, it'd be interesting, because there's a big speech in that. I'm not sure whether it's the same, but
it would be interesting to see, because it was such a great speech.
All men are born to die. We know it. We carry it with us always. If your day be today, so be it. Mine will be tomorrow. Or mine today and yours tomorrow. It matters not. What matters is that you know in your hearts that today you are that kingdom united. You are England. Each and every one of you. England is you. And it is the space between you. Fight not for yourselves. Fight for that space. Fill that space. Make it tissue. Make it mass. Make it impenetrable. Make it yours. Make it England. Make it England.